Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Gilcast. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. You're either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast feed or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Podcast feed. And Sammy, I think that this is the show that people like the best is when you win, no doubt, with your bullshit. You just play whoever you want stuff, and Nate and I take L's, and we have to explain why your team that won money was bad and our team that lost money was good.
I'm really looking forward to that, bro.
So just as I logged on, because I really haven't looked, I didn't lose as much money as I thought I did. Apparently I was not the only one to roster Justin Jackson and eat that zero. So my team, I lost about 25%, it looks like. So, I mean, considering everything that happened today, I mean, Nate, how much would you love to only have lost 25% today?
Oh, that would have been. that would have been nice. That'll be my dream tonight of wondering what would have happened if I could have only lost 25%. But no, I played three running backs that each got hurt, so that was fun.
Yeah. So the three scores on DraftKings: Whirling Dervish, 151.42. My team scored 128.9. Nate scored 115.22. I got to say, just right off the start here, the teams that you guys have included guys that I didn't consider for a second. I didn't think about playing Drew Locke at all in cash. I didn't think about playing David Montgomery at all in cash. I didn't think about playing Marvin Jones at all. But let's just start with Locke. I mean, I get the theory. But, like, you guys were giving up, like, 10 points of projection at quarterback to Josh Allen and Russell Wilson teams. Like, I don't think it was bad. It's just not something I felt comfortable with at all, Nate.
Yeah, I liked Allen. I mean, Allen was my main guy all week, especially the last couple of days when we thought we were going to get Pollard. So I had I loved Allen. I just, as soon as we didn't get the Pollard thing, I went down to Luck or Locke, because at 5'2". I just like paying down at quarterback. I think you.
Yeah, in general, you do.
More often than not, I just like that. And so the only other quarterback I really looked at all week was Josh Allen. And I know Russ was up there too, but it was either going to be Josh Allen or Locke for me.
I think the thing about this slate very, very, very much is that there wasn't a lot of available value, especially when it became clear we weren't going
to
get.
No, you just had to play one terrible play. That's all you had to do. You just had to stomach one terrible play.
Or you could play three terrible running backs.
Yeah, I actually disagree with this, Davis, and we'll get to your lineup because I disagreed with the thesis behind it. But I think the reality was, like, even if you wanted to play DJ Dallas, he was what, 5K?
I thought he was a terrible play. I thought DJ Dallas was so bad.
I mean,
I played him on FanDuel, but he was $600 more than the minimum on FanDuel, and they have a wider range. He was more expensive than J.K. Dobbins. Like, I was looking at that, and I was like, I think Dobbins can at least have, like, a 75-yard touchdown run or something. Like, DJ is just going to fart around, and he's got to get a 1-yard touchdown to be any good, which I think he did, actually.
Yeah, I think he got a short touchdown late in the game. And, you know, I mean, really the value, and we saw it in terms of ownership, you know, really came down to Justin Jackson, who's 4.9. And other than that, like, value is really, really tough to get. And so I think in slates like this where there's just not available value in the skill position players, it's proper to eat it at quarterback.
So
in defense and tight end. You know, you this go is back why to those days.
I think it's very fine to eat it at tight end. I think it's very fine to eat it at defense. This is why I disagree that you should be thinking about eating it at quarterback is – we have seen now multiple guys that you know your opponents who are playing who, like, can get 40, and that's not, like, their 90th percentile outcome. That's, like, their 75th percentile outcome. Like, Russ getting 30 today you would have watched that first half and you would have piled money on the over of 30 fantasy points. You would have been like, how much money can I get down on him getting like 38 DraftKings points here? Like he had the bonus going in to their second drive in the third quarter. Like it's, and it is sour grapes that he didn't get more because I played Russell Wilson, but
and he had a rushing touchdown early in the game.
Yeah. And, but the same for Josh Allen too. Like if I tell you this game, you know, both teams score 30 plus points, you're like, oh, well, Josh Allen like has 40 or 50, you know, like, and you knew that those two guys were going to be the most popular. I guess
I don't even think I would have played Russ as my second, as my third. I think if I wasn't going to play Josh Allen or Locke, I would have played Kyler. I'm surprised you didn't get up to Kyler. Kyler to me has a higher ceiling than Russ.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because he can get a 100-yard rushing bonus like he did today, and he's his team's goal line.
So I gotta say, I really did not think Miami was going to be that competitive in that game. I anticipated a lot of running from the Arizona Cardinals, and they did run a lot. But I mean, obviously Kyler he's incredible. I don't even know how many DraftKings points he had. He had to have had like an unreal amount. But I mean, I don't want to. There are things I'm going to criticize both of you about later. I don't really think that Drew Lock was that bad. I actually had Josh Allen in my lineup pretty much all week from like when I set my shell on Tuesday night or whatever. But this morning I saw this punt tight end team that just made it very possible to play Russell Wilson instead. And I was like, yeah, I mean, we had Russell Wilson projected for the second most points at Daily Roto. We had Kyler projected for the most. But I mean, what can you do? So that's that.
Yeah. The other thing about Drew Lock is he was, I mean, certainly I didn't go into the game. I mean, Drew Lock ran so incendiary in the second half. Like he had like 89 empty yards at halftime. And it was like,
but to credit, you know, the thesis behind the play was always that he was going to turn it up in garbage time against the Falcons, which is what he did.
Yeah.
The thesis of the play. I wasn't even worried at half.
you're a better man than I, Nate.
Yeah, buddy. I would have been
worried is because your team was dead by halftime. Of course, you weren't worried about it. I mean,
yeah, Nate was like working on a jigsaw puzzle with his girlfriend. He's like, oh, yeah. Drew Lock, it doesn't matter.
He's out shopping for Christmas trees and shit. He's just like, you know what? I want to spend some quality time together. Let's
12:30 rolled around, and I looked at my wife and said, "Want to go to dinner tonight? Let's go out."
I didn't watch.
You're paying, hon.
I didn't watch any of the afternoon games until the Kyler game got close because I was just so mad. I was so disheartened, which we can get into now, the running backs. Nate, I just got to tell you, just stop with David Montgomery, dude. Don't ever do it again. Just stop. Stop it. You need help, dude. Nate, this was not a good decision by you.
Nate, you are a sick, sick, sick fish. I can't believe, Nate, that you punted quarterbacks so you could not pay up for Dalvin Cook. That was completely insane.
Because Nate refused to take – and Nate refused to play a dusty wide receiver. Like, he just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, but
well, no, it was less about the wide receivers and more just like – I mean, the three running back values this week for me, I don't know. I just – I mean, volume is my thing, and I looked at DJ Montgomery and Jackson as just like they were literally off the charts in any like
remember
projection to dollar cost. And
remember when you told me that Chase Edmonds was going to get 17 touches?
Yeah, he got more.
I believe he got the most touches of any running back on this slate.
He got 28.
He was the only running back who played the whole game, too. I mean, all these other running backs all got hurt. So, like,
yeah, I mean, no, that David Johnson would have got to 28. But I mean, the David Montgomery thing was, dude. I get it. Like,
no, I don't get it at all, man. Because I watch the games, and then so I watch David Montgomery, and he looks like a guy who won a Make-A-Wish, and he gets to have like one chance to try and break an NFL tackle, but it looks like they just keep letting him in to try and get him to do it. He can't do it, Nate. It's terrible.
Well, first of all, he actually went into this week leading.
He actually had the most missed tackles.
Yeah. So, but glad you watched the tape, but you're wrong. his volume numbers are off the charts. And I just, like, he literally is on the field more than almost any other running back. He's up there with Zeke Elliott leading in snap share. He's got the highest share of anybody in the league.
He leads the NFL in expected points since Tarik Cohen got hurt. Yeah. He also leads the NFL in fantasy points under expectation.
Yeah.
And the reason is because he's fat and slow.
And I just don't. And he fumbles. I just don't think talent matters at running back. Like, when you're getting that volume, I'm going to.
It doesn't. It matters when you're literally so bad that you cannot create anything on yourself. Like, when it, like, it's like.
It's
and
less
you, and you hinder your team from, like, getting first down so that they just don't score any points. I mean, it was I know we're skipping ahead, but it was also, like, you played Tennessee's defense in cash, and you played David Montgomery, which was –
Well, because a running back isn't going to hurt when you know Nick Foles is going to throw the ball what he projected to. The defense,
why do you want to play David Montgomery if you think he's going to throw that many times?
Because David Montgomery is still going to get the rushing attempts.
Correct defense for your team to have played would have been
the Texans. No, the Cardinals were the other defense I was looking at. They were 2-9.
Yeah, but you had the correlation with DJ there and this six-round rookie starting for them.
Nate doesn't bother with correlations. He looks at the model, he looks at the expected points, and he's like, just plug him in. Nate, you got to look at the whole thing as a big picture. It's more of an art, my friend. You can't just look at the model and look at the median projections and throw them in the lineup.
Running back opposing DST correlation is not as negatively correlated as you.
No. It's not super negatively correlated. I know.
So
it's
like,
not,
if David Montgomery rushes the ball 30 times, that's not negative on Tennessee's defense there.
Well, it probably is, because then they're not getting a lot of, like, attempts against the pass, which is where fantasy points are created for DST.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the path for David Montgomery to get points is not necessarily, like, Tennessee losing. Tennessee's defense was a fine play at 3K. They were the best point per dollar play. And the David Montgomery play was not a, like, smash efficiency spot. It was just a volume per dollar. And it obviously things
just
are not that simple.
No, you just got to not do it ever again.
Yeah, please. I mean, just, like, you're married now, like, dude, you share, like, a bank account with your wife, like, just...
Yeah, she's seeing these withdrawals from your bank account, and they just say to David Montgomery, David Montgomery's taking money from your family.
The DeMont Make-A-Wish Foundation Fund. $5,000. I mean, talk to me about your decision to not play Dalvin Cook. I know, obviously, like, you can never expect somebody to score 42 DraftKings points, but, like...
But you can expect them to score 28, though.
I mean, dude, this is like, sick fish status that you...
He had the 100-yard bonus and a touchdown by, like, midway through the second quarter.
Yeah, and then he broke off, like, a 77-yard touchdown, and it was so hot.
Yeah, he smashed. I mean, Dalvin was the highest projected running back for me. But at 8-2, it wasn't like he was a screaming value at that price. And
he couldn't get himself to sacrifice the wide receiver values. He wanted to play all of Keenan, Lockett, and Julio, and he was, like, looking at all his beautiful whopper children, and he couldn't decide which one to send off the island. So he's like, I just got to do whatever I need to do to play all three of them. I won't sacrifice it.
Yeah, it was just it was a mess. I mean, I should have faded one of the value running back tiers that I had fallen for. I mean, literally, it was like those four running backs. Well, Pollard was in there too. It would have been Pollard over Montgomery.
Well, maybe you should have just listened to me when I told you that Chase Edmonds was going to get, like, a disgusting amount of touches, and you guys were like, "No, dude, he's Kareem Hunt," and I was like, "No, he's getting every touch," and he did.
Yeah,
I'm now, not.
I missed on Edmonds. I'll take the L. I really liked Edmonds. I just didn't like the price.
I mean,
Edmonds
this
wasn't
is
the, a value at his price. At 6'8", you're paying like.
Hey,
full...
buddy, he was if you project him for 80% of the carries.
That's a bad projection. Like, just because.
No, you want to talk about a bad projection? You projected him for 50% of the team's carries.
Yeah, that's not good. That wasn't it.
Because Tyler's been at 30-something percent.
So 30-70, no one else got a carry.
Yes, if you projected no other running back to touch the ball.
Well, it's not even like I'm taking a good victory lap here, because this was like the worst game of Edmonds' career. He was terrible. He had no space. He looked like Kenyon Drake. And
but
I don't
got
know
the workload, and that was your whole point was that he was going to be the only running back to touch the ball, and you were right. So, yeah, the Montgomery thing though, that was tilting. I mean, watching someone get that and then just. What did he dislocated his shoulder halfway through, and then his backup, who hadn't seen the field all year, gets the touchdown and like.
Well, yeah, he left the field, and immediately they were able to score points.
Yeah, that was the.
I for one am not shocked by that revelation personally. So, Sammy, you and I both played Dalvin Cook. Have anything really interesting to say about that?
Neither do I, except you're just an insane fish if you didn't play Dalvin Cook.
I actually don't think that. I think there were a lot of constructions that made sense without him, and they were what Nate did, but I would have never played David Montgomery. I would have played a punt tight end and Chase Edmonds over what Nate did. Yeah, but
that was just so wild, Nate. So did you have something going on in your life this week that kept you from?
No, I had that team built. Like, that was my non-Pollard team. So that was like, I had that for like 24, 48 hours.
What a bummer that we weren't able to get Pollard here, because he actually would have crushed. He would have caught like 9 passes and ran for like 86 yards against the Steelers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pollard would have been an easy, easy play. So we played.
But I don't think people would have played him.
No, you played Edmonds.
I played Edmonds, Dalvin Cook, and Justin Jackson, who, if you don't know, got injured in pass protection on the very first play of the game for the Chargers. And my team was kind of borderline, and I was thinking about swapping to Deontay Johnson, and the swap would have gotten there, obviously, because Justin Jackson got 0 points. Deontay got what, like 8?
Because my team had 4 for 77, I want to say.
Yeah, so I would have been.
Ownership projections at all, or ownership results at all. What was he owned in cash, Jackson?
50%.
Jackson was
a massive 25%
owned.
Yeah.
49.1% owned. So I played who did I play? I played Jesus.
You played David Johnson, Dalvin Cook, and that was the other thing. I know that David Johnson was like a fine math play, and I know that he got a concussion and it's not his fault, but I just was not playing David Johnson. Like,
it's
was like,
fine to not play him, but to victory lap a guy who literally got concussed on the first drive.
I'm not victory lapping him. I should be victory lapping harder on Chase Edmonds getting 28 touches and people. I mean, he should have gotten 30, right? Like, he should have crushed.
Yeah. He should have. I mean, certainly, like, I'll just be honest with you guys. On a day where I got 1.6 from David Johnson before he got hurt and 0 from Jackson, to like,
oh, your lineup is fishy as shit, dude. You ran
no,
so
no, that
hot.
Is incorrect, bro. My lineup's so hot. Let's go. Let's get into it.
So this
David,
is this
to be clear. Duke Johnson got like 16 rushing attempts and I think 5 targets.
Well, Duke Johnson is good and efficient, and David Johnson isn't. But
true. Duke
anyways,
Johnson is better than David Johnson. That is true. I will actually.
This is what I think was terrible about what Sammy did. First
come
off,
on, baby, come on,
Terry McLaurin. Was $200 less than Tyler Lockett.
That's right.
And you played Marvin Jones for $5,100 instead of playing your boy Deontay Johnson for $100 less after you were trying to play Deontay Johnson against the Ravens last week and telling us that we were stupid fish for not understanding why he was the play. Like,
you know,
what is this, dude?
So here's the thing. When I take an L, it's not just a show for the listeners. I took the L.
You learned and you grew.
I learned and I grew. And frankly, I was a little scared off by the potential game script with Pittsburgh being, you know, 15 or 13 and a half point favorites against.
Fair.
He could make big plays, but I didn't see a game where he was going to like get 8+ targets here. It certainly Pittsburgh ended up being behind the whole game and throwing the whole game. And if I had known that, I would have played Deontay. But I liked Marvin Jones. I wasn't like, oh, Marvin Jones is a lock. But certainly, like, in that game environment, in the dome, where all of a sudden they don't have Kenny Golladay, and so he rates to take a way bigger share of those air yards that he doesn't get with Golladay in there, I thought he was a fine play.
Yeah, except
he was thin.
He's old. He's old and terrible, though.
I mean, he's it was.
Yeah, but he's fine in this spot. I'm not.
No, I disagree. I don't really. I think that, like, for example, Jerry Jeudy would have been way better.
Jeudy was a real good player.
I think Mike Williams, Preston Williams, those guys all I would have played over.
Sammy, I'm not going to dunk on you about the. I think that was a fine play. My question is, like, what gave you the stones to fade Lockett for McLaurin? Because I think
he knows that Metcalf is the game, like, dude.
Like, honestly, like that's a move I would not have the stones for.
I mean, I will never do that in my entire life. Like, I'll never fade the guy being projected for like 21 points. But Sammy doesn't even look, dude. He doesn't even know. That's the thing. He literally doesn't look.
How do you build your lineups? Like, do you live in an environment with a computer at all? Like,
yeah, let me tell you something, bro. I don't give a single shit. I don't give two squirts about what other people are doing. And I found that over the course of, you know, several seasons, when I start letting what other people are doing get into my headspace, I feel like it kind of holds me back and it kind of screws me up in a lot of ways. And I was never playing Tyler Lockett in cash, like 0%. I tried to get Stephon Diggs. I thought Diggs was a far better play than Tyler Lockett. And when that ended up not happening with the McLaurin news or with the Zeke Elliott news, I decided to go to McLaurin. And the reason is this, Nate, it's really more of a science. If you look at the last 5 weeks, the number one wide receiver in Whopper is Terry McLaurin at point.
Oh, you don't have to preach to me. I love McLaurin. I know that McLaurin's a boss, and I also know that Lockett is like a fake wide receiver one who only gets there from efficiency standpoint and from a volume standpoint. McLaurin going into this game, projection-wise, this isn't just like pure results. I'm saying you made the right, like, you faded everyone talking about the efficiency in the game environment to look at a wide receiver who is going to be bolstered by volume instead of just a wide receiver that was going to get there on pure efficiency. And, like, you made the good play. And I actually, like, I'm not saying that from a result standpoint. I'm saying, like, looking at them, I wish I would have had the stones to go, wait a second, Lockett's projection is he's only getting there based on insane efficiency because he's got Russell Wilson as quarterback and insane touchdown efficiency because of the game total and everything else. Where McLaurin's volume, his air yards, his targets, every volume metric that you have McLaurin projected for is going to outweigh Lockett.
Yeah.
And I mean, that takes stones.
Thanks, man. You kind of like are saying it better than I could say it. Like, the reality is Tyler Lockett is really up and down. I mean, he's played 8 games now, and 4 of them are under 10 DraftKings points. Like, he's gone over 8 targets, I think, twice this season. And both of those were like his 50-point games, whatever. Like, he's obviously capable of like blow-up spots, but like even the same time frame where I'm telling you that McLaurin is number one in Whopper since week 4, like Tyler Lockett's like number 30. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not paying 6.8 for that in cash. It's not happening. That is not an alpha. And I wanted an alpha. I wanted Stephon Diggs. I thought that you played Keenan Allen, Nate. Keenan Allen's an alpha, right? Those guys are alpha wide receivers. Tyler Lockett is not.
Julio Jones is a fake alpha, dude.
Julio Jones.
He even scored a touchdown for us, though. Like, we can't tilt him that hard, but like.
No, we can't. But what's the guy's name?
Olamide Zaccheaus.
Yeah, Zaccheaus had 101 and a touchdown at the half, and Julio is just farting around like he usually does. And it's like,
I mean,
Olamide is going to end up with a higher Whopper from this week. I haven't pulled up any numbers, obviously, but I think watching the bit of that game that I did, I think he was the alpha on that slate. He got all
who is Keenan?
Up. No, Olamide. He was the one getting targeted deep down the field every time. He had like 3 end zone targets in this game.
Well, what's actually tilting is that Christian Blake was supposed to be the guy who was replacing Ridley.
I saw some head-to-heads with Christian Blake. I don't know.
Levitan played him, dude. So it had to have been touted because Levitan played him.
The guys at ETR are real sharp, right? And so they've been kind of on the fact that Blake is Ridley's direct backup, where Zacchaeus is Julio's direct backup.
And Powell is Gage's backup.
Yeah, and that's been true all season. It just didn't hold true today for whatever reason. And we haven't had time to like go back and check it out, but I think that was definitely a surprise. And so that was
I'm going to guess that Zacchaeus just ran hot and that actually Blake probably played more. I'm gonna guess. I can actually go look. But I am gonna guess that. I don't know. So this is what I did at wide receiver. I played Tyler Lockett.
Blake only got three targets where Zacchaeus had six, and Zacchaeus's were deeper downfield.
Well, I can look at next gen stats to figure out the snaps.
I can pull up area and tell you, so I just
I can watch the tape.
I can go back. I guess maybe a mistake I made was not trying to get Keenan over Lockett, but it is very hard just because, you know, Lockett does project a little bit better. I mean, I don't know. I guess Keenan is the better play. But also
by far and away, bro, because here's what happens. You get the herd mentality because you see the projection, which is high, and you know everyone's going to play him, and you're just like, oh, he's a lock, and you don't think more about it. Like, that's it, right?
If you look at Lockett's projection and you just break it out into, like, how much of his projection total is made up from a crazy efficiency, and you just dock his touchdown rate and his reception rate and his yards per target to like an average rate, all of a sudden it falls apart because his target His target volume is insanely variant. Like, he literally projects what did I have this chart?
I
had his mean projection to be Lockett. His target volume is not what you would think it is for.
No, it's
6K for.
He's 25% compared to guys like Keenan, Hopkins, and Julio that are like 28-31%.
But his like target range, he has games under 16% target share. Like,
yeah.
Where some of those, like, Keenan is not going to play a full game here getting 16% target share, where that is totally in Lockett's range of outcomes. And I think that's where it's not just volatility in your efficiency projection. It's also volatility in your volume projection. And that's where McLaurin, Keenan, and all these other guys, their target distribution is literally so tight.
Nate, but obviously when you're talking about the bands of volatility and the ranges of outcomes, like, Lockett has these 50 pointers that Keenan couldn't access if he got 300 targets.
For sure. It's very true. But
so
the
it's
is,
like,
I think we've all gotten into a mode because Seattle is just like bombing the complete balls off the rest of the league that people go into every week thinking, dude, I have to have one of Lockett.
Yeah, you just got
to
play one of the two.
Yeah. You got to do it. You just got to have them. And, you know, it's mentally weak.
I mean, I played Metcalf on FanDuel like 6 of the 9 weeks this season, I think.
Well, see, that's awesome because Metcalf is an actual alpha.
Yeah. You know? Right? Yeah. I think that what I did, which is I played Marcus Johnson at 3K.
Buddy.
Oof.
So this is why, first off, the lineup made a ton of sense, and I would have cat, like, if Justin Jackson just plays the game, I'm not sweating this at all. But the reason why I actually like Marcus Johnson relative to because normally when you pay 3K for a wide receiver, it's Braxton Berrios, right? You're just hoping for 3 for 30. But he is the type of guy where he still gets targeted, he's got like a 14-15% target share, but he also gets really deep targets, so he can just get there with one catch. Like, he had the 100-yard bonus right before the Colts went into their bye week, so I felt pretty fine about it. It's like not the best play I've ever made, not the worst play I've ever made, but the way it let me just get all the dudes, right? I got to play Russ, got to play Edmonds, got to play Cook. Really, it ended up being about Edmonds, the Marcus Johnson play, because there wasn't really a way to get all of the other high projected plays and Chase Edmonds if you did not play a minimum salary wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I guess. I mean, that's the thing, is because this slate just didn't have value – you searched pretty hard for it, and I understand why you were willing to punt there.
It ended up being not Marcus Johnson, but the punt 3K wide receiver strategy ended up being relatively popular. Like there were a bunch of 3K wide receivers who ended up with like 5 to 10% ownership.
But it also worked out and doesn't look bad in hindsight, because all of the value running backs fell. All of the value running backs got hurt. If Justin Jackson hits, if David Johnson hits, if David Montgomery hits, if all of these like middling running backs would have done anything close to their normal value, Chase Edmonds looks like fish in hindsight to pay up for.
That's why you pay up for someone like Chase Edmonds, because he is less likely to do that, because he doesn't suck like David Montgomery does.
Well, Chase Edmonds is the one who got 30 touches and got what, 8 points, 9 points?
I mean, yeah, dudes can hit their fifth percentile outcome. David Montgomery getting 11 points on 30 touches is like a 70th percentile outcome at this point.
Regardless, I like to talk about the slate and go, oh, these value wide receivers worked because it didn't burn you. Well,
that it worked. I said it was thin, and I liked, like, in a vacuum, I liked the idea of playing a cheap guy who can have like a 60-yard touchdown instead of just hoping for 3 for 30, like the KJ Hamler week or whatever, where he literally got 3 for 30. And if he didn't suck so bad, he's really bad. He was wide open on, I don't know, a 60-yard touchdown or whatever, and Rivers hit him, and he like lost it in the dome lights and just didn't catch it. But he was about to score a 60-yard touchdown.
There's nothing special about that Marcus Johnson play to me. Like,
well, most of the time they're not.
There's Marvin Hall is always there. Jalen Guyton's always there.
But Marcus Johnson plays the whole game. Marcus Johnson is
Moore's 3.1K. There's always these guys who are going to be like have insane air yard per dollar.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
but they're not in play on every single slate.
The only reason he's in play is because you wanted, like, it was your lineup construction. So you took huge volatility risk because you were confident in the rest of your build, and that's fine. But I'm just saying, like, it wasn't like last week where we had Jacoby Myers or the Jets value.
Mims.
That, like, those 3K wise, those 3K guys opened up as like, these are one-off values. This was just you saying like, hey, I'll roll the dice here because there wasn't something that made this Indiana value thing like.
There was. T.Y. Hilton didn't play.
Well, I know, but the rest of the team was all still there. I mean, there was plenty of people in Indiana that could have. I don't know. Yeah, this
Pascal,
to me felt
Pittman,
very different.
It's all their tight ends. It's their running backs. Like, Marcus Johnson does not like project to just like. No. I mean, he ended up with 7 targets, so I can't hate that hard.
He played the whole game. Like, I know this seems like really thin, like playing David Moore or whatever, which actually, by the way, I did briefly consider, because I was like, I have Russ. I'm just hoping to get a long touchdown anyways. Maybe I should just play David Moore. I thought about it for like half a second. Didn't do it. I mean,
you always look at David Moore, and he always catches a touchdown. Like,
he's
a better cash play than Lockett, honestly.
Dude, imagine if I had played David John, or imagine if I had played David Moore and Justin Jackson didn't get hurt, how insufferable this show would be.
Oh, it'd be awful. I mean, so I think that the one thing, and tell me if you guys think I'm off base here, but I think the thing that stuck out to me on this slate was the value at 5K wide receiver, right? Those guys Judy, Deontay Johnson, like, I thought all those guys were good plays.
You can't slip Deontay Johnson in with some actual plays, Sam.
No, like, Deontay was a fine play.
Johnson's good, bro. No,
Deontay's range of outcomes in this spot was so wide. Deontay was a GPP only play. He is not a 5K value wide receiver. He was a potential GPP.
John Brown was a pretty decent play.
Yeah, 4,600. Yeah. So I agree with you that
Christian
they were
Kirk. I wouldn't play Kirk in cash, but like.
Well, yeah. We've all been there.
Yeah.
I agree with you, like, theoretically, but these are all GPP values to me. Like, those are not like. I mean, I liked Judy. I played him in the spy, but, like, no, I was not ever playing. Like, I can't tell myself, oh, yeah, you would have played Judy in cash. Like, I didn't think about it for a second.
Yeah, I played a lot of Judy GPP because I had this game stacked a lot. But, like, yeah, I I just thought Marvin Jones was like fine. I was like, dude, he's got some floor, but he's also got ceiling in terms of like deep stuff.
I agree. I just think most of those guys to me were all like GPP value wide receivers. I thought the same about, you know, a Sterling Shepard or a, I mean, there was a bunch of guys in that range, but to me, the cash plays were either like pay way down at wide receiver or pay up for the guys that were, you know, the Keenans and Julios of the world. And obviously the Terry McLaurin over Lockett thing is just, that was the sharp play of the day.
I mean, there's no math to support it, but I just,
That's incorrect. We literally went over all the math that supports it.
Over it. Here's the wide receivers in the target share, like the floor target share projection was DeAndre Hopkins, Terry McLaurin, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, Robbie Anderson, Adam Thielen, Allen Robinson. You have to model your stuff
in a different way if you want it to handle Lockett that way. Like, it's just not the way that DFS projections are done right now. It's very hard to weight that in because it's all done on medians.
Well, I know, but I'm saying when you understand range of outcomes, if you look at Tyler Lockett, he is much more volatile than the other wide receivers he's around, not just because of his efficiency, but also because of his volume. No other wide receiver that we pay that price for has that volume volatility.
I can't believe he had 20 targets against Arizona. I'm just looking at his game logs right now, and I'm just so mad.
Because you see, it's like five targets, four targets.
I know. It's unbelievable.
You're like, why didn't he give me the 20-target game? Because he's a beta.
Yeah.
That's why. This is not – I mean, I'm just telling you guys, like
– Well, that's the interesting thing is for a while he wasn't the beta. He was the man, right? But that's gone. That's done now. Like, DK Metcalf is the man.
Well, yeah, I mean, DK's always been the man. He never stopped being the man. Just Lockett has these incredible games. And I don't know if it's something schematically or – I mean, he's done it in different ways, right? Like he's done like a bunch of those deep crosses where sometimes they're just like playing man coverage and there's just nobody there. And he just catches these deep bombs where he's going across. But then, dude, sometimes he's just running like little short drags all the time. And it's just like, I don't know. I think there's something that happens.
I have good news for you guys. Well, what's happened is DK Metcalf has learned to run routes, whereas all he used to be able to do was run slants and nines, and that was literally all he could do. Oh, never mind. I lied. Seattle is on the main slate next week. Oh, man.
Perfect.
Tyler Lockett is 6,500.
Oh, they're dangling the carrot. And what's Terry McLaurin?
I'm just going to play him. I'm sure McLaurin is 6,800.
Yeah. Now we're where it should be. Things have reached homeostasis.
So anyways, the last thing I want to talk about before we look at a couple of salaries for next week is Nate made what I thought was like the, well, my want play was Fant. I thought Fant was clearly the best tight end play of the slate. I had a lineup with Hurst as well, who you played, Sammy. And then ultimately I decided to play Irv Smith Jr. Two targets, so lucky, two receptions, two touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, just
Davis,
sometimes
you had a terrible. One second, you had a terrible lineup. The fact that you played Dalvin Cook, the one good play on the day, you got 20 something points from a tight end. You lucked out, and you didn't win. Like you,
I did. Well, I didn't win because I got a zero from Jackson,
who was 50% owned,
and 8 points from Tyler Lockett.
You avoided the David Johnson thing. You avoided the like. And then you played Dalvin Cook and Irv Smith, and you still lost. Like,
yeah, your lineup is like almost good, Davis.
Well, I also gave up. 10 points to all my opponents at quarterback too.
Yeah, what?
I'm just saying, you had a lot of things break your way on a week where a lot of people didn't, and you still weren't able to like.
Well, yeah, so if you account for
Davis, I think you were on the right track with your lineup. Like the Edmonds play was good; it was fine. You know, playing Dalvin Cook was obviously like fantastic, but I just don't think that paying up for quarterback and like wearing it in the shorts so many other places.
Well, like it's very easy to say that when Drew Lock gets 33, it's a lot more difficult to say that when Drew Lock gets 15 and Russell Wilson has 35.
Saying it where Irv, he's also saying it while Irv Smith went off for 20-something points or 15 points.
And this is what I told you guys before lock, is like I get like 5 points from my tight end every single week. It's like literally tight end is the worst every single week. They all suck. They never do anything.
Yeah, You're just trying to pay 2.9 to suck instead of
Like what am I going to do? Like, oh, great. Am I going to play Darren Waller? What did he get, like 4 for 40 again today?
Kelsey smashed.
Today was actually a good day for tight ends. Like, lots of tight ends got in between like 10 and 20 points. But, like, guys, I mean, how many times have we, like, oh, Jonnu Smith got 4.1 points? You know what I mean?
I've been awful at tight end all year.
Irv Smith is out there all the time. They're gonna score a bunch of points against this awful Detroit team. And sure, I mean, no, I did not project him for 2 touchdowns, but he was here. I'll go look at our projection now.
So he actually was like one of my highest owned GPP tight ends, because I was like, dude, I'm gonna fade Dalvin and I'm gonna play Irv Smith as the leverage. And like, that
so close, dude. If I tell you Irv Smith has 2 touchdowns, you're like, oh, Dalvin sucked, dude. Dalvin got 19.
I'm like, oh, I won 6 figures, easy.
I thought Hurst was sharp, Sammy, because obviously he's had over a 16% target share for each of the last month. Calvin Ridley target bump.
Yeah, so over that same time frame that we're talking about since week 4, he's third in Whopper amongst all tight ends. It's Kittle, Kelsey, and that other guy. The guy I played, what's his name?
Hurst.
Maybe I'm wrong. Wait.
I'm wrong.
I don't think that's right, Sammy.
Yeah, no, it's actually not right. That's Austin Hooper. What am I?
They're the same person.
Oh my god. But yeah, so bottom line is like I thought like in this game, like Davis is saying, his target share has just been consistent. I wanted Fant the most.
I thought was the best play.
Because Fant, not only, like, I think has been commanding good volume, Denver projected to throw quite a bit being down. And the other thing is Fant can make big plays on his own. And there's not that many tight ends that can make big plays on their own, just like catch and run for 30 yards like he did on the very first play. We've seen this consistently throughout Fant's career that he's able to do this. And I think it's a pretty rare trait in a tight end. So anytime you have the opportunity to do that, in a dome, like, I thought he was the best play. I wanted to get him, but he wasn't like a must-have, because no tight end is a must-have these days.
Yeah, my Fant team, I think, didn't have Dalvin Cook. I can't remember it from this morning, but I think it was.
Yeah, I don't think you had Cook, because I was dismayed to find out that you did play Cook, because I wanted to dunk on you so very badly.
Yeah,
I was disappointed to see that you played him.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I ran, like, I was looking at optimals and projections and stuff. Basically what happened is I realized I wasn't giving up that much in terms of raw projection to get Irv, and it got me the dudes who I thought could, because that's something we talk about on the show too, is like, you want guys who can win you your week, because weird shit happens. Guys get hurt, right? David Johnson gets concussed. Justin Jackson hurts whatever he hurt, right? David Montgomery, you know, is David Montgomery. Tyler Lockett gets 4 targets. Like,
play a Greg Olsen or something like that. You want to play someone with upside if you're going to pay down. I get it.
Yeah. Well, and I was more just saying that, like, if we just acknowledge that a lot of these medium projections are fragile anyways, you should play the guys who can get 40. You should play the guys who can just absolutely sweep your week for you. And, like,
especially by position, right? The nature of tight end is gonna kind of make the projections that way specifically.
Yeah. All right. Let's look at some of these salaries for next week. Chase Edmonds, 28 touches. No other running back receives a touch. He's $6,300 at home against Buffalo.
Yes. Why didn't he go down $500? I mean, I figured it'd be
I bet they did the prices like they start the algo running before the game even finishes. I bet.
No, they just saw he didn't score that many DraftKings.
Yeah, they saw he got 11 points at super high ownership, and they were like, "Well, no one will touch this guy."
Montgomery treatment.
Yeah.
He's a great player. 6'3", he's a great player.
It kind of looks like a bummer of a slate, to be honest. Like, I don't like.
So this was a bummer of a slate, right?
This slate sucked.
Yeah, it did. But like, you have to. I think the thing is, the longer and longer you play DFS, like, yes, I love the, you know, Levitan calls it the prove it slates, where like there's a bunch of obvious plays, and so you just try to play a crap load of volume and see who can't figure it out. But
those are my favorite slates, is when there's like three or four obvious teams and people on Twitter are like, dude, you suck at DFS. And I'm like, okay, send me a game, please. Those are my preferred slates.
Yeah. Davis loves those. But the longer you play, like the slates where everything's really ugly and everything's really thin, I think those are like the funnest ones. They don't like seem that fun, 'cause you're like, you know, crapping your pants the whole time because you can't make a lineup that you like, but that's the case for everybody. And if you can solve those slates better than people, I think the edge is actually probably bigger.
Well, obviously the edge is bigger. The edge is going to be bigger when people are not all playing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my hot take.
That's a pretty good.
Sammy with the three paragraphs long.
So I put me on the show. Yeah.
Like, what was it? 2 weeks ago when there was the massive train that it was like the most duped team ever, or it was like 20% of double ups?
Yeah, yeah. You and I had the same team.
Yeah, like, we had the same team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nate played David Johnson.
Nate played David Johnson. All right, let's see here. Oh, man. Okay. Tampa Bay plays at Carolina after that, just that collective fart that they just put out. And. They're all
really updated. Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, Godwin is 6K. Antonio Brown is 5.8. I'm going to play a little bit of Godwin probably. Can't help myself.
It looked like Mike Evans got hurt in this game. Like, he grabbed
But he was still out there at the end. Oh, man. Dude,
Mike Evans, Morris, I feel like, has an in-game injury every week. Like, I mean, he always is pulling at his hamstring.
Yeah, he's like Deontay Johnson.
Judy is
like gets hurt a bunch.
Judy is only up to 5.6 against the Raiders.
That's hot.
Wow, so there are more afternoon games next week than early games, so we're gonna have a lot of time to think about our swaps, you guys.
Oh really? How fun.
Well,
that's the thing. If they just put like five games in the afternoon, like swapping would be a bigger thing. I think one of the, like, people get lazy about it. A lot of people are just lazy, but also the options are just really, even just adding one more game in the afternoon really creates a lot more combinations. I would like to see that.
Man, I already know that Jared Goff is going to be a very popular quarterback selection next week. They play at home to the Seahawks. And I think I just need to set a rule for myself right now that I'm not playing Goff in cash. Just like, don't do it. But maybe... But I don't know.
I don't know. It might be a good idea, honestly.
It's just like he's terrible. Like he's really bad.
The prices aren't coming up for me. I'm having some sort of
terror. I was going to say, where are you?
I just am in the Millie Maker for next week. Are you guys being boomers right now?
No, when I go to create lineup and I click NFL Classic, the only slate I see is the Monday through Thursday slate.
Yeah, I'm going the same place you are, Nate. So Davis just has insider info.
No, I'm literally just on the lobby.
Davis actually knows like how the DK pricing algorithm works, so he's just.
Do you guys remember last week? I was like, oh, Robbie Anderson will be 6,300. Yeah. He was 6,300.
Easy game.
I live inside the algo, dude. Big Ben against Cincinnati, 6,200, Sammy.
I mean, that's pretty awesome. But I mean, frankly, like, so one of the things, so Big Ben's one of my most owned seasonal players, because I was just like, here's what I'm going to do in season.
So dusty.
Yeah. He's so dusty. I'm like, dude, I'm just going to wait and I'm going to get Ben Roethlisberger and Cam Newton on all my teams. And,
well, kind of sort of working.
I mean, they're fine, whatever. But like, I missed out on like Russ and, you know, Mahomes and you know Dak when he was around because I did that. But I think the problem is like I thought Pittsburgh would be so good, right? But the reality is, if you think a team's going to be super good and you think their defense is going to be the notes, they're not going to be airing the ball out a whole lot. And that was kind of the error in my thesis behind Ben. I was like, dude, he's got so many weapons, like it's going to be great, but they don't have to like just air it out a whole bunch. And I don't know that Ben's even capable of that anymore. He can barely move. He got hurt again today. His knee's like creaky. I mean, he's just dusty. And he really has to have like 300 yards and 3+ touchdowns to even like sniff the neighborhood of like somebody who can
25.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas like, dude, Kyler can run, Josh Allen can run. All these guys can bomb it better than Ben and they can run. So I'm actually kind of like off Steelers air stacks.
So
the hard thing about next week is going to be that we are probably going to have to fade Davante Adams at 9K.
Against Jacksonville, who like has no healthy defensive backs. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that, buddy.
Creatures great and small.
I might just play him.
Are we just going to pay 9K?
Well, I got to – so here's an interesting one. Richie James coming off of that insane game is only 4K, but Bourne and Ayuk are going to be back. Do you – but like – how do you put Richie James back on the bench after that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, he balled out. I mean, get him out there with Ayuk.
Oh, I'm playing Jordan Reed in cash next week, dude. Easy game.
I'm kind of afraid to like mess around because the last time I didn't play Jordan Reed, he caught 2 touchdowns.
Well, he barely played, but it was the first time he was off the injured reserve, so I think that. And they were just getting shit canned that whole game. So I just think they were like, we're not gonna press it with you. But I think he should be. I mean, this is like they have to win this game against New Orleans, or they're dust. I don't think they can make the playoffs if they don't win this game.
Yeah, see, the pricing on McCaffrey immediately caught up, and he's back up to 9K.
Yeah, McLaurin's in a dome.
That's hot. Let's go. Let's go.
I just am really excited to have this same conversation with you guys about Lockett next week, except Lockett's going to have 37 points next week.
And nobody's going to play him now. Nobody's playing him.
But Davis,
I can pretty much guarantee I'll play him.
Really? You're such a fish, bro.
I just look at the points and I'm like, yeah, I'm playing him.
He's going to have those games. I'm not denying that. He's a great player. I'm just saying in cash games, that's not – like, he's priced at a spot where the volatility –
well, then just play someone else, but I will just probably just play him because I'm going to go run my projections, and I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to be like, yeah, he's projected for a lot of points.
Hey, did you guys see Juju Smith-Schuster showing some signs of life today?
Dude, he looks good.
For the third week in a row?
Yeah. DJ Shark looking good?
Quick to call him dead. He's too young to have, like, literally just forgotten.
Well, it's so he's not dead, but he is playing a role that you don't want a superstar wide receiver to be playing in. Like, he literally
that's fair,
is,
but he's also in an offense that just doesn't throw. Like Sammy was just saying, you don't want a wide receiver on. It's like the Adam Thielen thing. Adam Thielen is not going to hit
guys. Stone cold lock. We got it. Jalen Reagor, 4,200. He'll score 17 points.
I'm not – I have to look into it a little more, but I do feel like that might be good. I just want to throw this out there for you know, anyone who doesn't know. Brandon Cooks' last 4 games, 9 targets.
He's unreal, dude.
9 targets, 12 targets.
Yeah.
Like, Brandon Cooks is he might be back. I don't know.
Oh, I don't even think there's any denying it. And not only is he back – but he's back in like a creating space and like doing it all on his own. Like, it's not like he's just like wide open and catching bombs. Like, the touchdown he scored today, it was like a slant and he like made like 4 guys miss.
Oh, snap. I didn't see that. I was not watching any Houston, which I feel good about.
Yeah. So Brandon Cooks, 5,600. He looks pretty nice. I mean, Kamara, 8,200, and he just had like his worst game of the year. Although, again, they didn't really need him. James Conner, $6,900 at home. I mean, I guess he like basically is in like a 4-way committee now, though.
Yeah, you know what the weird thing was is they went Pittsburgh went five wide so much in this game. Like, it was really, I think it was like a schematic thing where they just found what Dallas was doing and they just cut them up with like these little outs all day. They just went 5 wides and just threw a bunch of outs because Dallas's scheme was like just not – they tried to run it at the beginning and Connor was just not on the field. Like, their running backs weren't on the field for like most of the game. So I thought that was really interesting because I thought that Connor versus Edmonds, if you were going to pay at that price point, was a really interesting kind of choice. I was not real clear on which one was better.
Yeah. All right, boys. I think that should do it for us this week.
I don't know if there was enough hate thrown around in the show.
I'm not going to take the L of my team being bad because I don't think it was. I think it was pretty good.
I thought Nate was going to be
dominant. Well, in the spirit of everything going on in our nation right now, I think it would be a good healing moment for Nate to show the country how you take an L when you're wrong.
I just did the show. I mean, I'm taking an L.
I'm proud of you, buddy. I'm proud. You know, it shows that all souls, no matter how lost, can always find a way to grow and improve. Thanks for listening, everybody.